It's beautiful each Sabbath. You know, of the some 46 ministries out there in the hallways and the divisions, including the library, I think I could find one that I could get involved in. I want to say a major thank you to all of those who spent so many hours getting ready for their special ministry booth. But the flowers, there's many ministries that are not even present out there. And Lucy and Paul, their ministry has been the flowers for many, many years. The organ ministry and the newsletter ministry, there's many others that could be out there. But I hope that you really enjoy looking around and seeing what God might have especially for you. I wanted to share with you another announcement this morning before we start, and that is that Earlene DeBose, is she here this morning someplace? Her son Robert unexpectedly passed away yesterday morning down in Orlando, Florida. Arrangements are being made, and I'm sure that we'll hear more about that later on, but we want to extend our love and sympathy to the family. Steve and Kathy were really living the American dream. They had a beautiful 6-year-old girl by the name of Alex. They went every place, did so many things together. Steve was the president of his own broadcast software company. And they just loved life. They seemed to have everything that they wanted in life. And then suddenly that American dream turned into a nightmare. Steve was in Europe on the first leg of a business venture, and he arrived at his hotel there in London, and that evening he received a call from his wife, and his wife was telling him something, but it was so hysterical, and she was crying so hard that at first he couldn't understand what she was saying, and then it dawned on him that she was saying, "Alex is dead. Alex is dead." And when he grasped what she was saying, his own heart was just in a state of shock, and he shouted out to God, "Why, God, why have you taken her? Why have you taken her?" She had been out playing with some of her small friends and had just suddenly dropped dead. Well, God and Christ had not really been very much a part of Steve and Kathy's lives. They really were not into that in a big way, but now they were seeking for some answers. They were seeking to know something that would satisfy the longing of their hearts. And so when Steve got back home, they began to look around and they began to attend a church. And over a period of time, their hearts were given to the Lord. But you know, it isn't every time when we give our hearts to the Lord that we understand what that means, that it means that now that we have the Lord, that we can share Him with others. And they didn't quite understand all about that, but one sermon that their pastor, Bellacy, gave, they were listening and their hearts were deeply touched, deeply moved, and they decided that they were needed to share the Lord in some way. And so they came up with this idea of a neighborhood wishing tree. Now that's unique, isn't it? A neighborhood wishing tree. And the purpose of it, this was getting close to Christmas time, Steve said, we wanted to find the families in our community that did not have any means to provide a Christmas for their children. And they found several families that had he made in a short time a list of some 80 wishes that they had. Some 80 wishes, and he copied each of those wishes onto paper ornaments that they placed on a artificial Christmas tree in a neighbor's yard. And they let the neighborhood know, the community know, all about their special project. And they let them know that they had received $100 and that was going to be their seed money. They were sort of going to test God to see what God would do with all of this. And within 72 hours, every ornament was gone from the tree. Every ornament was gone from the tree. And in just 2 weeks, that $100 had turned into more than $8,000. Can you imagine that? That is the way the Lord works. That is the way the Holy Spirit works in lives. In fact, just a little in the Master's hand becomes much. Have you discovered that in your own life? He can take just a little and do something tremendous with it. In our scripture for this morning, the story of the parable, we also find little becoming much. Little becoming much. And you know, in this story, if you have your Bibles open, there's several striking principles that I think speak to each one of us today. And we're going to be praying that the Holy Spirit will use it to speak to every heart here today. And we have this businessman, this master, who decides that he's going to go on a journey, and apparently he has some very trusted servants, some that he has learned to depend upon, some that he is willing to entrust his property to. And so he calls them to himself, and he begins to distribute his property and placing it in their hands. Now, I don't know what your Bible says, but it says in mine down below in the footnote that a talent was worth more than $1,000. And so he calls them to him, and he says, You know what? I'm going to give to you $5,000. I'm going to give to you $5,000. Now, why did he give him more than the other two? We're not told. It doesn't tell us why he gave more to that first one than to the other two. Maybe he had more abilities to manage funds. We're not told. And then he gave to the second one $2,000. And you have to wonder, was he jealous of the one that got the $5,000? We're not told that he was. Maybe they didn't know how much the other one got from the master before they went on their journey. And then he gave $1,000 to the third one. And he left and he went on his journey. And one of the very interesting things that I have found in a study of this parable is this, is that the master did not tell them, did you notice this? He does not tell them how to invest their funds in order to enlarge his kingdom. He doesn't have a program or tell them to go and invest in a certain stock on the stock market. He leaves that up to them and to the moving of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts as to how they're going to use that in order to further his kingdom. Now, some people may feel a bit uncomfortable with that because they're so used to having a program. You know, we have these 46 ministries out here, and most of us feel comfortable in fitting into this niche or into that niche. Isn't that true? But in this story, the master does not tell them how to invest their money. He just leaves it with them, lets them know that they're to invest it for the increase of his kingdom. And then he leaves. Now, if you go to verse 13 in chapter 25, this is right before the parable. It says, "Therefore keep watch before you, because you do not know the day or the hour." The context of the telling of this parable in Matthew 25 is the last days. The last days. This is down at the end of time that he's talking about, that they're to go out and they're to invest and they're to enlarge his kingdom. They're to enlarge his kingdom. Obviously, Christ in this parable is attempting to answer the question of what does it mean to wait and to watch? And I'm reminded of the statement over in that little book, Christ Object Lesson, that says, he was not speaking of idle waiting, but in diligent working. That is what it means to wait for the coming of God, Christ, to occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. Well, in the parable, of course, we know that the master, the man that goes on the journey, represents Christ. And the servants represent his followers, those who are following him. And the talents represent spiritual gifts that he gives to his followers in order that the work might be finished, in order that his kingdom might be enlarged. And so he gives them kingdom assignments. Kingdom assignments. And as I mentioned, he doesn't tell them how to spend the money. He doesn't tell them how to spend the money. He doesn't even tell them what their talents are. What were their talents? And that's a good question for today. How do you discover what spiritual gifts the Lord has given to you? You know, we have these instruments that people have developed that we call spiritual gifts inventory, and you fill those out and you look at the formula and it tells you what particular gifts. How many have you taken spiritual gifts inventories before? I have not personally found those tremendously useful. How many of you took that and then went out and did exactly what it said? Very successful. Well, there's another important way of discovering what particular spiritual gifts you have, and that is to sit down with some trusted spiritual mentor or a teacher, a good friend who knows all about you, and find out what gifts he or she might think that you have. But that there is a third way. And maybe all three can work together, but there's a third important way. And I have frequently in my ministry discovered this with many people, that they never really know what gifts they have been given by the Lord until they are willing to step out and risk doing something for him. How many of you have had that experience? You did something. Yes, look at the hand. You did something that you never even knew that you could do. But by stepping out and risk the trying, it's in the trying that you discover that, yes, the Lord has given me this gift. Or he might even give you the gift while you are trying to do that. And maybe some of you have discovered that in your own life. And so by trying, by stepping out. Now there's something very, very important in this parable. If you've never noticed it before, I hope that you notice it today and that you'll write it down and that you'll think about it. And that is this. It isn't how much you and I have received. It isn't how many gifts that we have received that is important. That is not what this is all about. It's all about what we do with what we have received. And I dare say, brothers and sisters, that there's a lot of people who do more with one or two gifts than some people do with 5 or 10 gifts. because they allow the Lord to work through them in reaching out and touching the lives of others in a special way. They use their gifts. They use their gifts. You know, as you look over the various ministries, and we're going to have these here through next Sabbath also. As you look over them, I do hope that you'll find some that really speak to your heart, that the Holy Spirit says, you know, this is a gift especially for you, that you can get involved in that particular ministry. But maybe you'll say, there's none of the gifts here that I can really relate to. And that's okay. That's okay. If that's true in your case, well, maybe you need to take your gift and try something completely new. Form your own ministry for the Lord. You don't have to have the church to come up with some idea to form a ministry for you. You can go out and use your gift to serve the Lord in your own unique way. And we have people here who have done that. And we have people here who have ministries in the hallway who have come up with their own special ministry because they're allowing God to use them in a very special way. So what am I doing with what I have? You know, we should never spend our time being envious of those who seem to have a lot of gifts, a lot of talents. We should not spend our time being envious of those who seem to be doing a lot, but we should spend our time using our gifts for the Lord, for the purpose of enlarging His kingdom, enlarging His kingdom. This morning, I have a kingdom assignment for you. I have a kingdom assignment for each of you that if you will permit it to, it will change your life. And I guarantee you that you will never be the same again if you decide that you can become part. Now, before you say no, you know, I'm already so busy. Before you say that I'm not trained, that I'm ill-equipped, just think about this. And by the way, if you're thinking I'm too busy for anything else, just remember one of the principles of this parable is that those who are faithful to the Lord and doing faithfully what the Lord has given them to do, what is their reward? In the parable, what is their reward? More work. You have been faithful in a few things, and I am going to now what? Give you lots of things to do. Isn't that what the parable says? You've been faithful in a few things, and now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And so really, that is not a really good excuse, is it? I'm just so busy. You know, if you accept this assignment, you'll take a very small amount of money and invest it in a project of your choosing in order to enlarge God's kingdom. But I want you to really focus on this morning. This is not about money or how much you may have or what you have. It's not even about how many people you may be able to touch in a meaningful way, because it's much bigger than that for each one of us individually. Because regardless of how much your investment doubles or triples or multiplies, regardless of how many people you touch, you are going to come closer to the Lord through this assignment. And that perhaps is more important than anything else. You know, everything that we have, everything that we are, is a special gift from the Lord. And so you may decide to invest in helping the homeless in Lodi. There's not as many in Lodi as some places, but there are the homeless. You may decide to give out Bibles. You may decide to invest in buying milk for an orphanage. There's a jillion different ways out there to invest the Lord's money and your talents in order to expand His kingdom and bring glory to Him. And so this Sabbath morning, I'm looking for volunteers. Volunteers who will be willing to step out and to take a risk for the Lord. To step out and take a risk for the Lord. Perhaps to do something that you've never done before in all of your life. But you're willing to step out and say, yes, I will accept this challenge. And you'll say, well, you're not even telling us what to do. No, the master in the parable didn't tell his servants, his followers, how to invest for his kingdom. That was left up to the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives, And so this morning, I'm looking for some volunteers who will be willing to get out of your seat and to come right down front here, and say that I am willing to do that. And I would be delighted, you know, if we had 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, even 30. But individuals who would be willing to come down and say, I will volunteer for a kingdom assignment. And I will be willing to try something that I've never tried before. You know, I have been praying about this for several months, and I know that the Holy Spirit has been working. Woke up at 2:30 this morning and my mind was going like this. And so I decided to get up. But I want people who are willing to make that kind of commitment, to volunteer to risk a kingdom assignment for Him. And I'd like to invite you to just get out of your seat and to come up here and stand up here. Only those who are willing to make a real commitment to do this, to risk a kingdom assignment for the Lord. And just get up close here and stand here. And this means something. I'm going to ask Barbara to take down your names back there. But this really means something important. Something important. I'd like to give each one of you something. No, we each have our own gifts. Can't get off easy like that. I don't know if my faith was great enough. I may run out of these. Yes, that's real. Okay. they're still coming out of theirs. The Lord planned it just right. Did I give one to you? Did everyone get one? Anyone that did not get one here? Okay, every single one of you holds in your hand a $100 bill. Some of you are holding it out from you like yourself, like you don't know what to do with it. And it is a real $100 bill. And if you are willing to accept a kingdom assignment, this $100 bill, I wish it were $1,000, but it's not, comes with three conditions. Comes with three conditions attached. And the first one is this, and that is that you recognize that this is the Lord's $100 and not your own. That is the first condition. This belongs to the Lord. And the second condition is this, is that you're being entrusted by the Lord to use this only for the advancement, for the enlargement of His kingdom. And you know, let me share with you how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit works. When Pastor Bellacy, to a much larger congregation, congregation of some 4,000, presented this, and he might have been the first one, and called for 100 volunteers, there was one lady, a single woman, that came down to the front, and she took her $100. And she said in her mind, I know exactly what I want to use this for. It has to have something to do with children because she just loved children. Kim loved children. And so she thought about it and she prayed about it. And folks, you are going to spend some sleepless nights trying to pray through what the Lord wants you to invest this in for His kingdom, to enlarge His kingdom right here in Lodi. And she prayed about it. And one day, a friend was telling her about the children's hospital in town and how they so desperately needed books. Books for reading to the children, children's books. And the light went on in Kim's mind. And she said, I know what I'm going to do, what my kingdom assignment is. And she took that $100 and she went around that very same day to all of the bookstores in town. And she told them about her own commitment and challenged them to match her $100. And by the end of the day, she had over 200 books. But that's not nearly all of the story. Because she was a representative for a shipping company, and one afternoon as she was in her office, she received a telephone call from a very irate customer that they had helped with a shipment. And he said, I not only want my money back, I want you to come and pick up the freight, and I want to break my contract with you. And Kim said to him, sir, I am very sorry. I am very sorry. Let's try to work this out together. And she said, what are you shipping? And he said, children's books. And Kim said her heart just fairly skipped a beat. And she said, sir, I know that you're really upset. And you're going to think that this is really a strange story. And with that, she proceeded to tell him about her kingdom assignment. Tell him about her kingdom assignment and how the Lord had already blessed through all of these bookstores in town. And when she finished, there was this silence on the line, a long silence. To finally, Kim said, sir, are you still there? And the man said, you know what? I'm going to reconsider you folks. I'll keep my contract with you. And then his voice became very thick. And he said, you know, I have a whole warehouse full of children's books. And I just send your people out. You can take as many children's books as you want. And folks, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. And there's something else to this. The story wasn't finished for Kim. Kim decided that she wanted to become involved more than just raising money for children's books and acquiring children's books. She got really involved on a regular, weekly basis over at the hospital reading to these very sick children. And so she touched the lives of many, many people. Touched the lives of many people for the Lord. And you know, I don't know how he's going to impress all of you. And maybe you'll want to return the $100. But I know that he can do the same through each one of you. Do you really believe that? I think that he can. I think that he can. Now, there's a third condition. The first condition is that you recognize that this belongs to the Lord. The second condition is that you have been entrusted with this to expand, to enlarge the kingdom of God right here in Lodi. And thirdly, and don't faint over this, but thirdly, after 90 days, that's going to be the first part of June, we're going to have a time here when everybody will be able to report how God blessed your investment for him. And we're going to hear a lot of thrilling, exciting ways in which the Lord has worked. I really believe that he will do that. And before we leave here this morning, I want to have a prayer of consecration for all of you. And after the prayer and we sing our prayer song, I want to invite all of you here to go out and look at all of the ministries. Take your time to get acquainted with what's going on in your church, happening right here in your church, areas that you can get involved in, and begin to sign up. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, I firmly believe that your Holy Spirit is in this, that your Holy Spirit is at work. And Lord, you haven't told us how to invest our talents, our gifts for you. But you have told us, Lord, that you will be with us as we invest them, and that you will bless in a magnificent way. And Lord, every single person who has come to the front, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will give them a double measure of your power and your wisdom as they seek to invest this for the enlargement of your kingdom right here in Lodi. Oh Lord, help them to spend time in prayer with you. And Lord, I pray for our entire church family, that as we leave here today, that we might do so knowing that you have given us each one gifts that are to be used for your kingdom, gifts that are to be used to encourage others to get involved. Lord, we want to thank you and praise your name for your love and your goodness. In Christ, your name we pray. Amen.
Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me with my heart, whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.